Hello and welcome to Technotopia, a podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. Today we're talking to Michelangelo Guarisi, Udo's growth hacker and community manager, and an entrepreneur. This is Technotopia. Right, welcome back to Technotopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. And today we have Michelangelo Guarisi. He's a growth hacker at Udo, community manager, and he's also a founder of Volumio.org and Intuitu Technologies. And you are in Italy. You're calling us from Italy today, right, Michelangelo?
Yeah, hi, John, and hi, listeners. Yeah, I'm calling from Florence.
Okay. Yeah, I've never been. I want to go out there.
Please, do it.
All right, so why don't we start out? Tell me a little bit about Udo and what you guys are working on over there.
Yeah, mainly Udo is a compact size computer, just like your ordinary desktop. And this adventure was born 4 years ago when we launched our first Kickstarter campaign with the first Udo, which featured a mobile phone grade processor coupled with an Arduino. So basically, it was a perfect tool for makers, you know, people which love to create things and which eventually do prototypes that become products. Mm-hmm. So this is how it started. And today we are back on Kickstarter with another campaign, this time with the Udo X86, which features instead a desktop grade processor. So okay. It's way more powerful than the original one. Or the geeks out there is 10 times more powerful than a Raspberry Pi. And we just love it because during those years, we made those tools and we like to say that the brightest people in the world use it. And
okay, interesting. Yeah, so I use it. So I feel like I'm part of that that team. Yeah, but I was one of the first users. I got one of the first Udos, and it was about as powerful as a Raspberry Pi. So Raspberry Pi is just a single board computer that has a lot of power to it. But this thing can run Windows, this thing can run all sorts of interesting stuff, right?
Yeah, not only can run Windows 10, for example, and you can run also three 4K resolution monitor at once, so it can be a workstation, basically. And we wanted to put this to the limit. We just run Photoshop, it runs smoothly. We tried the game streaming, so you have a powerful computer, you run a game on it, and you stream it to, for example, your big television in the living room. Then, as you said, it can run Android, Linux, whatever, because it's just a PC, you know? It's just a little bit bigger than a 5-inch mobile phone, but it's just as powerful as the computer I had 4 years ago.
And it's $89.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe we start with there. So what does the world look like when computers are less than $100, they're really small, they're really usable, they run almost anything. When a computer is powerful enough to do all that, and it can fit in the size of, oh gosh, I don't even know, like maybe even your wallet, what does the world look like after that?
Well, of course, we are now surrounded by computers, but in the next few years, there's going to be even more. And probably we're going to end up having computers in our jackets, in our shoes, not only in our car, in our houses, pretty much everywhere. And this, of course, will tend, in theory, to make our life easier because those computers are going to be able to understand what's going on in the environment around us, which are going to give us useful and pertinent informations. But, of course, the big challenge would be using such computers and such amount of information that we're going to gather for useful things.
Okay.
Yeah, so there will be a proliferation for sure of connected devices that they will talk one with each other, exchanging information. So
I think the interesting thing about this is once you have devices that are talking to each other, and once you have devices connected to your body that are connected to the, I guess, the internet, what happens to that data? Right now, as it stands, like the data that I get off of my Apple Watch, for example, isn't extremely useful to me. I wouldn't say, because I really have one or two indicators that I'm maybe walking a little more than I used to, but I don't really have a lot of indicators that I'm getting healthier, right? So what needs to happen for all this stuff to work together in that way?
Well, we may say that we already have the technology and the infrastructure to process such information. Because, as you said, now your watch can tell you a lot of things and is probably connected to your iTunes account, and also a lot of companies are getting data from you. The thing is, since now all those information are processed and the only goal is to get business out of it, probably the only useful thing we are getting is suggestion for purchasing our next
our next wearable device.
So my opinion is that the goal for the future is processing such information in a way that we're gonna have a social impact. And for doing so, technology is not gonna be enough. We're gonna need politics, metapensée, and psychologist, interaction designer to take part into the process of shaping the future in a way that those data is going to have a positive impact. Because as of now, what I see is just they are used probably to make business. And also, in cases that we can process such information for other purposes, they're not particularly useful neither, you know. So the key will be finding the right information, a right model to process them, and delivering good things. For example, in our work, as we saw before, we do create instruments for brilliant people. We say, hey, you can do pretty much anything with it. But we don't see so many projects which make sense. The key is going to be this: find something with a purpose that would be really useful. For example, if now I put a thermometer in my house, it can just tell me barely statistics of how much gas I consume and what my energy bill will gonna be the next day. For example, something that could be really useful with this is merge the data that we get with, for example, behavioral model, so on the psychological side, for example, put families in competition for increasing energy savings. You know, the more you save, you have a game and you are on the top on the list. So apply, for example, gamification to teams which have a social, economical impact.
So you're fighting. So you're basically going to fight the neighbors for to be the better, to be a better whatchamacallit, be a better saver.
Yeah, well, not fight. Let's say let's see it as a fair competition, you know. But just stimulating probably I don't know how to say it in English, but the civil sense that everyone has with data gathered from those kind of devices, because we're going to have a huge amount of data to process. We can imagine probably that nowadays every person has at least 3 or 4 internet connected devices, and we can expect them to become 10 or 15 in the next 5 years. So let's imagine how much data we're going to gather from it. And, you know, the goal we could have could be or just making another business, selling other things, or really impact people's lives and also face the environmental challenges, which are really important for, let's say, our future.
Okay. So once we have all these things connected, what happens to our privacy, I guess?
Well, let's say that, again, technology-wise, we are pretty much set. We know how to make secure software. Of course, if you don't have any vulnerability, any known vulnerability, but this is probably it's going to be demanded to politics as well, because as of now, there's not really an awareness of everyone on how much data we are giving away now. So imagine in a few years. And for example, if I care a lot about my privacy and I don't want to leak my personal data, I just basically live without outside of the civilized world. I could not be here on the interview with you. I could not send emails to you. I could not book a flight or have a credit card or whatever. And talking about those devices is going to be a challenge also for this kind of technology, because the security aspects now is not at the top priority, because we want those devices to be more powerful, to be more connected, and there are very few people that want them more secure. So this is going to be a priority. I guess the market is going into this direction. So in the next 2 or 3 years, we're going to be really a rise of security service for these kind of devices. And probably we're going to shift from software level security to hardware level security, which is way more difficult to break. Not because it's just better, but because you need way more resources to crack it.
Okay. So the work, the melding of hardware and software are going to keep us secure, I guess, right?
Let's hope so.
Okay. At least. All right. So what does as the final question, I guess, what does the world look like in the next 20 years? What does your day look like when that happens?
That's a tough forecast, but I would imagine, besides of having a lot of devices which are ideally working for us, I think that this will impact our social system as we see now and our habits. For example, I can imagine that I will wake up and I will have some robots preparing my favorite breakfast, you know, basing just on my past behavior, and an autonomous car driving me to work, or even, I don't know, some new kind of super fast transportation means. Mm-hmm. And then when I will go to work, my job will be pretty much different from today, because the repetitive things that I do today, like writing code, sending emails, I will probably have bots, which are gonna do with me. And probably I will take care of the human ones that those bots cannot do, like, I don't know, understanding people's emotions or stuff like that. And probably also our focus will not be on this planet, but maybe we'll discover other planets, and this will be our main attention. But in the end, in the evening, I would really like to find the time to read an old school paper book.
Okay, so the idea is that we're gonna have artisanal paper books that you're gonna be reading.
Yeah, and if I can just make a shorter shot, telling what I think of the computer future in the next 5 years will be, or even less. Those devices, yes, are becoming more powerful, smaller, energy efficient day by day, but probably I would think that we need to change the computing paradigm, because now to do more complicated tasks, you just need to add processing power. And there's gonna be more and more complex tasks for this computer to do. So probably something like FPGA, which is a technology which, to make it simple, changes the hardware topology of a processor to make it better at certain specialized tasks, would be probably the future, like, for example, also quantum computing. So we're gonna see not running for mere power, but better for efficiency.
Interesting. Okay. So where can people find out a little bit more about Udo and other stuff you're working on?
Well, of course, you can go to udo.org. It is our website where there is our community, where you can exchange ideas with, as I told you before, the brightest minds that there are, share projects, find questions, and of course to our Kickstarter campaign, which is live now. So the name is UdoX86, and it's live on Kickstarter. There are few early birds deal yet, so be fast to get those. And that's it.
All right, very cool. Michelangelo, thank you very much for joining us on Technotopia. I'm John Biggs. This has been Technotopia podcast about a better future. We will see you next week. Thanks a lot, Michelangelo.
Thank you, John. Thank you, all the listeners.